This is Never Leave These Eyes, a Ninjago fanfiction written by J Supersonic Dynamo and read by Lemon Avocado. This fanfiction is rated for general audiences and no archive warnings apply. Summary. When Nia returns from Prime Empire, Jay's there with a hug and a request. Jay's really had a day. Really, he's had a week and a half that started with him finding his dream game and ended with facing down a super powerful villain all by himself while the lives of his family rested in his hands, his unsteady hands. His legs ache and his arms ache and the scars hidden away neatly on his back ache and first Benjutsu Master does he want to collapse right here on the pavement and sleep it off for a billion years. But they're not done. Unigami might have been easier to take down than that most villains, really, but there's no magic that'll whisk all this damage away. Ninjago City continues to smolder, terrified citizens continue to peek out from their shelters, and Jay's body continues to remind him of everything awful in the world. At the foot of Borg Tower, they hop back into the stolen buggy. It remains too small for Jay, Zane, Pixel, and Master Wu to fit in, but that doesn't deter them from driving back to the mechanics warehouse again. Jay shifts uncomfortably in his seat as they drive. He can feel the stares that started the second after his windblown confession on the top of the tower. Zane's is the outright saddest, though maybe it had something to do with his still overworked systems. That's right, Jay remembers, shoving Work on Zane front and center on his packed to-do list. His sad blue eyes are freezing a cold spot on his shoulder, like he can work Jay's puzzle out through enough meticulous data analysis. Pixel's gaze is curious too, but at least she's trying to keep a slight air of aloofness. Jay can tell she's torn between wanting to console him and wanting to respect his boundaries. She fiddles with the cuffs of her gloves and stares out the window, trying her darndest to not look suspicious as she steals glances at him. As Master Wu drives, Jay revisits the showdown in his head, turns it over, and replays it again. He doesn't want to diss Milton Dyer and Unigami's heartfelt reunion and resolution, but come on. They made getting closure look so easy, Jay thinks bitterly, his chest getting tight. Luckily, the ride is short, so he doesn't spend too long letting his thoughts spiral. The warehouse still looms above them as they get out and walk up, but the yellow energy that radiates from inside isn't as hostile now. It pulses, gently, like it hadn't just unleashed an evil video game army, or a dramatic, honest-to-first-master cliché beam of light into the sky. Then the people come pouring out, coming back, at first very hesitantly in ones and twos, before steadily growing to a roar. The former game denizens just walk out the doorway like it was nothing. Jay's immediately lost individuals in the crowd, but he does feel a rush of relief when he spots Scott briefly. At long last, he's out of the game that kept him trapped for 30 years. Jay spots Cole and Kai first. They walk out together, just like they had gone out, but now they're more confused than tense and panicked, like he had last seen them. Kai is whipping his head around so he can take in the scene as best he can, while Cole is making sure Kai doesn't get lost in the crowd, arm looped firmly around him. Lloyd arrives soon after, stumbling out in a defensive position, holding himself tight. He does it once over, twice over, before spotting Cole and Kai, and sprinting over to reunite with them a little tearfully, as all Lloyd reunions go. Jay is walking toward them eagerly, as is the rest of the team, all the while making rapid head counts in his head. 1, 2, 3, 4. There were 4 of them missing. 1, 2, 3. Cole, Kai, Lloyd. There was 3 here. Where was the 4th? Was she okay? Was she trapped somewhere, unable to break loose, stuck somewhere where she'd never be free again? Stop, Jay scolds himself. It isn't over. It'll be okay. It will be okay. And he's right. With the last stragglers, Nia stumbles out. She's bewildered, glancing around like she hadn't been expecting this kind of afterlife, one that looks just like the place she called home every day. Jay is running now, ignoring his legs screaming back at him. Nia! She turns. Jay? Jay stops in front of her. Nia! He stops and puts his hands on her shoulders, checking that she's still here, making sure that she's still alive and breathing, finding no trace of hard orange edges. She's here, they're all here, they're safe. They're all safe, he didn't let them down, he didn't fail them. He laughs and twirls her around in a neat circle, then goes up to give her a kiss on the cheek. She accepts it, and she's smiling at him softly. Hey, Nia says, like it's just a normal day out in the town. Jay gives a wet laugh and hugs her. Memories, rebellious, horrible showreels of Jay's worst hits. play against his will. Nia's dying, dying, dying in a matted wedding dress. Cole's all alone, fighting off an army of ghosts. Zane's shivering violently as he faces an ancient evil risen again. Lloyd's horribly still as he dragged out of Crypterium. Kai's freezing as he comes back to them, broken and powerless. Nia's tossing Jay out of harm's way again, only to be reduced to something meaningless, tossed away like she's nothing special. She's a still, simple, perfect wife for the djinn. She's a basic, harsh, orange energy cube for Unigami. Jay remains a spectator. He can't do anything about it. He's never been able to. He pulls Nia tighter. "I need you to promise me something," he says, quiet enough to be heard under the chatter of noises. "Yes?" "Please don't sacrifice yourself for me again." Nia's throwing Jay out of the knife's range, further, further, further. He cries out, in surprise more than anything else at the moment. Immediately after, Nia feels the pain start to blossom around her back, and she's thinking, good, at least he'll be okay again, and the world cuts out suddenly. When it comes back with a suspiciously orange-tinted focus, Nia's home. She's not quite sure how, but she's now walking out of the yellow and back onto the Ninjago City streets. The ground is firm beneath her feet, she can feel power returning to a steady pulse under her fingertips, and the dozens of other citizens all around her must be all the other people that were trapped in Prime Empire. Nia spotted the rest of her family, and has made a beeline for them when she's distracted by someone calling her name loudly. A quick glance around yields no other Nias, but it does offer Jay, who's running out to meet her, arms outstretched and face shining with a brilliant, relieved smile. He pulls her into an excited spin, gives her an affectionate peck on the cheek, and then a tight hug. Jay pulls Nia close, and his hands are trembling. His grip is stronger than it's been in a long time, and his words are firm and uncharacteristically quiet. But Nia's seeing dozens of black and red screens, failed mechs, comlinks died out, and flying ships reduced to nothing but splinters. She's seeing her family come back torn up and torn apart, only hours after she sent them away fine, and she has to help them recover and repair the pieces they're in back together. Somehow, they keep on getting shattered into more each time. Nia feels dead controls, useless dumb hands that just can't reach out to the smug water no matter how hard she tries, and the dull, dehydrated taste in her mouth she gets from crying too long. She was always too late, not enough, never able to launch herself into the fray for the longest time. She's plenty capable. Why can't they share the world's burden for once, before it crushes them? Nia wants to give Jay a definite answer. She wants to give him easy comfort. But she's not going to lie to him and let him get dragged just out of her reach, again. Her tone is soothing. Her message is simple. "I'll try, Jay, but I can't make any promises."